Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed! Hallelujah!
Okay, just want to make sure you're all still awake. Okay, and the vigil is always a longer than normal service, but I find it awesome in its kind of its imagery and its movement. It encapsulates God's redemptive story that culminates in the main celebration tonight. The resurrection of Jesus and the destruction of sin and death. Just so you know, we actually did cut down on the readings. There actually are 9 that are appointed for this evening. So if you think it was long, just imagine if we did them all. But it is amazing the way that it describes God's plan from the very beginning of creation of the world itself through his redemptive history. And we start in the dark, or the not so dark, because some of us like to sleep this weekend and decide to start the service a little earlier than maybe we should technically do that, but as we figure out that the sun has set somewhere when we started. But we start in the dark, because then it's only by the resurrected Jesus, illustrated by the Paschal candle, which brings light and hope back into our existence. Since without Jesus, we are in the dark, without hope. It's interesting, the devotion this morning that my dean of the doctoral studies did for Trinity, he started off by saying, "I'm a recovering optimist. As I look at the world, it's very hard to be optimistic." He says, "Yet, I never lose hope. My hope is that of Job. No matter what the circumstances, I know my foundation." It's interesting because some way this service is almost like the beginning of the original Wizard of Oz. The movie starts in black and white, and it's after the tornado. Dorothy wakes up in Technicolor. Everything is vivid. She's in a world that she can barely imagine or grasp. She can hardly truly understand what she is now experiencing until she's willing to live into it and embrace it. I think the resurrection is like that. We live in a black and white world until we come to experience Jesus. Until we follow him, and then it's as if we're brought into the technicolor light of his presence and existence, into a world we can barely grasp or understand until we live into it. And it is then and only then that we can truly exclaim the hallelujahs and that Christ is risen. But the Gospel of Mark, which we read tonight, doesn't wrap things up in a nice, tidy little bow, does it, like the rest of the Gospel stories? It's not this complete picture of Jesus having been raised, they're seeing him, he's eating with them. It ends literally in mid-sentence. Now, there's a longer ending to Mark, which most scholars have come to agree was written later on and added in to kind of give that nice little tidy package that people were wanting. But the original Mark did end that abruptly. It ends in fear, but also in awe. In disbelief, but also sort of kind of belief too. It's mixed emotions at seeing something that was beyond their understanding, beyond what they could grasp, and in fact, sometimes a little bit beyond what we can understand and grasp. I mean, have you ever gone to go see someone and you kind of just miss them? You come into the office, they just walked out the door. I mean, it's frustrating, isn't it? Maybe it's disappointing or just irritating, especially if you were meant to meet with them. Why couldn't Jesus have waited around a little bit longer? I mean, surely he knew that the women were coming, right? He couldn't just stay there 5-10 more minutes until they showed up. And yet he's already gone and on his way. But see, I like Mark's ending, because it forces us to grapple with the reality of the empty tomb. We're forced to look at our own expectation of how Jesus should be and how he should act. We need to remember that he can't be contained by our ideas of what should happen or what should be. The grave couldn't hold him. The expectations of the women couldn't dictate his actions. The reaction of the disciples wouldn't define him. Jesus was leading the way, and either they would follow or they wouldn't. Lamar Williamson, who's a commentator, he writes in his comments on Mark, he says, "When is an ending not the end?" He says, "When a man rises from the tomb and when a gospel ends in the middle of a sentence." In one sense, this unfinished story puts the ball in the reader's court. It puts us to work. We must decide how the story should come out. So tonight, we're shown again the empty tomb. Are you willing to go and meet Jesus alive and well where he told you to go? Are you going to follow him where he would lead, to live as he desires, so you can enjoy the life that he desires and means you to live? See, it all hinges on this resurrection. The entire Christian life hinges on the fact and the reality that Jesus is alive. Because either he is, and he goes ahead of us, waiting for us to show up, or he's still dead, rotting in the ground. And not only should we be no longer optimists, but we should be fairly hopeless as well. But perhaps you've heard the remarks that people say that it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. But see, it's a lie. Paul points out in his letter to the Corinthians that if Jesus did not physically come back from the dead, if he wasn't resurrected, then their faith was in vain. If Jesus is not alive right now, then our faith is futile, and we are still in our sins, cut off from God. We can be good people and do our best, but then that's it. Without the resurrection, humanity truly is without hope. Because remember, this isn't just for a select group of people. Remember, if we listened to the readings tonight, it's for all people. It's for all nations. It doesn't matter if you were born into a Christian household, a Muslim household, a Wiccan household, an atheistic household. Jesus lived, died, was raised, and continues to live in order to draw all people to himself. You know, what we also have to remember, when Mark was written, he was writing for Christians that were living during the reign of Nero, who, if those of you that know history, was probably one of the worst persecutors of Christians that has ever lived. And we're facing some bad ones now, but Nero was worse. See, they didn't need a history lesson. They knew Jesus was alive. What they wanted and what they needed was some assurance that Jesus was still with them, that he was there in their sufferings, in their trials, their present problems. And what does the angel say? "He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." See, I think that's the kind of assurance they needed, and I think that's what we need. Life is not always easy, is it? I bet we all could fill a great storybook of some of the struggles and hardships that we faced. And sometimes it's the little things that can pile up and become overwhelming. I don't know about you, but usually the pile of laundry. I have a pile of clean laundry folded in baskets down in my laundry room. Of course, instead of bringing it up, I go down to get that one piece of clothes and then go back upstairs. Perhaps it's the dishes that are sitting in the sink that's still yet to be cleaned, or the house that has to be cleaned before everyone shows up tomorrow for Easter dinner. Or maybe it's more serious. I think of those that are facing real serious health issues, or trying to figure out how to pay bills, or struggling with the death of a close friend or a loved one. Is Jesus really alive? Is he really there? It can sometimes be easy to see the risen Jesus during Easter services, isn't it? With a beautifully decorated sanctuary, with the beautiful white and the lilies, the pomp and the circumstance, when things are going well. But where is he when the drudgery of life takes hold? When we leave this place and are faced alone to deal with life? Well, the angel tells us the same thing. He's going ahead of you. He will meet you there. But it means you need to get moving. Are we willing to run after him? Are we willing to continue following him? To believe and to live into the technicolor world, which is the reality of Jesus alive, physically wanting to lead us and to guide us as he told us he would do. So as we go through tonight and we head into Easter tomorrow morning, let us remember that, Alleluia, Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed! Alleluia!
Amen.